Once again, it's my honor and privilege to say good morning. What a day this is going to be. Will it be the day that Jesus comes? Will it be the day that we go through all the fluctuations of life and are revealed to Jesus and Jesus is revealed to us? I would remind you of many scriptures, but there are some that are easy to remember. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not desert you, says Jesus. You're always in my heart, said the Lord Jesus. I love you with the Father's love, and the Father's love is eternal. It cannot pass away. And Jesus is saying to us, if you love me, love my Father also. If you love my Father, love me, for I reveal the Father. And so we see the work of the Holy Spirit in us. I want to take you, because the good news is such that in Acts of the Apostles 11 and verse 26, being first called Christians, we become disciples. We were first called Christians in Antioch. We have four tests. I don't know if I can get to all four today, but I want to share some of these testings with you. The Lord Jesus was calling upon people to understand the business of taking up the cross. And this basically was to deny oneself and follow him. In order to encourage people to understand, he speaks of this in Luke 14 and verses 26 and 27. And he uses a word, hate. In Matthew 10:37, he provides the understanding of what he's talking about. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. It is a question of adjusted loyalties, not personal hate. Now, the word hate is a dreadful word in some ways, and I must confess that I was rather shaken when a friend of mine, a very close friend, said this to me, you can't use that word as a Christian. You can't say hate because it's too awful. And yet the Bible doesn't think it's awful. And the Bible says God hates liars, number one. Now, here's the thing. Lying is sort of born in us, it seems. And most people tell the most fantastic lies, and some are absolutely unnecessary. But the question of loyalty doesn't come into the lie. It's just a matter of telling a story. But God hates that. He hates it. He wants you to tell the stories of Jesus. Tell me the stories of Jesus, my father would sing to me. I love to hear them. And the hymn goes on to say, tales by the wayside, tales by the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. And this is a fantastic expression. But Jesus said, some people will put their parents between me and them. Are you one of those people? And it's a great shame that we do place things in between God and ourselves. And it is a shame that we can't turn around and say, I have to hate what I've been doing and change my loyalty system and love what God is teaching me to love. Now, you may love the unlovely, and it may be that he will teach you to know the unlovely. Now, the cross is the central thought. We are cross-bearers, and that distinguishes us between hardship of life in general and the cross. It's a common lot that visits us and causes the right to show up the wrong. The cross may be avoided. To carry it is to pay the price of self-denial and self-surrender. Life is a divine gift rather than human achievement. The cross is the power by which we live, and the Lord Jesus lives in us. These are notes that I've read from my notes, but I wanted to share this with you. The test of the cross. Is it the central thought of your life? Is the cross something that you understand or don't understand? If you're born again, you will find that the person who called you to be a follower of Jesus, that same person will help you bear the cross. And we bear the cross with Jesus. Now, he suffered on that cross, so don't be surprised when you suffer. It was not a glorious place, as some people pointed out to be. It was the most humiliating place. So when you're humiliated because of sin, understand Jesus was there before you, for he bore in his body the weight and the sins of the world upon the tree, upon the cross, that means. And when we take this central thought of the cross, distinguish between the hardship of life in general and the cross, we come to some conclusions. Life is pretty tough. Bearing the cross of Jesus is a voluntary thing. You don't have to. Now, you can be a person who has borne all sorts of dreadful things in your life. I remember in England, because that's where I was born and where I grew up and where I started in the ministry, and I remember in the 50s, 60s, how it was that children that were born were often given thalidomide, and that dreadful drug caused children to be born without arms and hands, without legs and feet. It caused them to be twisted in a terrible way. They were called thalidomide babies. Today, some of them have lived long enough to show the world that there is more than just suffering. But these people have suffered enormously. The boy that learned to write with his toes was excited. He said, "I can write my name." That's a wonder. The girl whose feet turned backwards and they were without knees in her legs, that girl was able to say, "I have learned to walk." But the pain of it all. Now let's take another look at this pain. Let's go into the house where these children live and see the awful pain in the eyes and the hearts of men and women. See the fathers and the wives, fathers and wives who turned out to be mummies and daddies. Let's see their hearts and the agony that they go through every day as they wash this child that cannot do anything for itself, or as they feed this child that cannot feed itself. See the suffering. There's another place to go to. Our wonderful fellows and girls who fight battles. And we send them into battle. We send them with two legs, two arms, and so on, and a perfect body as perfect as the army or air force or whatever can make them. And they're strong. They're strong in personality as well as in body. They're people to be reckoned with. They're great people. Let's go and visit one of them that came back from the battlefield. The mind is shattered. The eyes are blinded. The limbs are no longer working. And the prosthesis that they have are these things that people design and build for them. And it certainly gives them some liberty. And it's remarkable what the medicine can do today. But what about the fellows who have no marks on their bodies? What about those who have no marks except in their minds? Do we think of the suffering of people? And then, you know, you come to us who have not suffered in any of those ways, but we too suffer. A child goes off the rails and ends up in prison. A parent goes off the rails and gets to be a drunk. A person that takes up drugs illegally and becomes an illegal user of drugs and yet has children to look after. These persons suffer, and they suffer terribly. And what do we do for such people? How do we class such people? How do we help such people? And the cross is the answer. The cross is a common denominator, if you like, that teaches us right from wrong. The simple company that we keep will often show that we have deliberately taken up the cross and not avoided it. We carry it, and we carry it in the power of the Spirit. We do this because it is to pay the price of self-denial and self-surrender. Have you denied yourself and taken up your cross? And have you followed Jesus? You may, you should. I should too. We all must consider that God says, follow me. And the Lord Jesus says, follow thou me. You come and follow me. Life is divine gift rather than human achievement. I believe that God is interested in the tiny things of our lives. Listen to this from the book of Psalms. He says, you know our down-sitting and our uprising. You know all about us, in fact. You know when I lay my head down. You know when I get up in the morning. You know me where I am. And we look across the aisles at all the people that could suffer for Jesus' sake, and we see them not suffering and not taking up his cross and not following him. And then we ask, where is this self-denial? A young man at college in Klamath Falls said this story to me one day. He said, I went to church and I had $20. And I thought, well, I need that $20 because I need to eat lunch. And then he thought to himself, well, I can do without lunch. And the pastor is in great need. And so he wrote on the envelope in which he put his $20, for the pastor only. And the pastor opened the envelope and out fell a $20 bill. It came with love. It came because somebody had said, I will go without, that you may have something to go with. And the pastor told me later, when he found out about this, not from me but from someone else, that was one of his greatest gifts he ever received. He was in such a pickle money-wise. Well, he took the $20 and used it wisely. And he and his family all ate because someone had given them a personal gift of $20. But now let's look at the giver. He was going out of church after the service and someone said, we're having a get-together for lunch, a sort of barbecue. Would you come and share with us? And he said he had more food to eat than he had even thought about he could afford at the restaurant. That evening, the young people in the service got together, and he had never been invited up to this point by the young people to join them. But someone amongst the younger people said, why don't you come and fellowship with us tonight? We're going to have hamburgers and we're going to do this, that and the other. Come. And so he had plenty of food that evening. And he went back to his digs and he got into bed and he said, Lord, thank you for supplying all my need. God has promised, give us this day our daily bread. He has promised indirectly in that verse to supply our daily bread. And here was a young man testing, as it were, the waters with his toe, and he found that he could swim in the depth of these waters because God was in it. And the goodness of God was greater than anything he thought about. He went on and finished his studies and left the school with his degree, and the pastor was still there and he was still ministering, and they were sitting talking one day, and the pastor said, you know, somebody gave me once when I was absolutely broke and we had absolutely no money. He gave me $20. And from that $20, I fed 3 children, a wife and myself, and we got through Sunday. The young man said, well, that's an interesting thing. I gave $20 once to a pastor, and I had no more money and I had no hope of having any more, but I knew the Lord would provide. And the next day he received a letter from his father who told him that he had some extra money and here it was for him to use. And it was 10 times the amount of what he had put into his offering. Have you entered into self-denial? Have you entered in to the work of the cross? Do you have the cross and its power by which to live? And the experience that you're experiencing right now that may be very unpleasant is only preparing you for another unpleasant part of your life to show itself. I believe this with all my heart. We have things that happen to us and things that happen within us. There are the things we dictate and there are things which God dictates to us. And as you go through life, you will discover that the meaning of this suffering is simply learn to suffer for the next time you suffer. And let the next time you suffer be a glorious thing. It can be. We are to take up the cross of Jesus. We are to follow him. We are to be led by him. We are to be people that keep close watch and close hearing and what he says and what he shows. And then we're to do it. And sometimes being obedient in that sort of secretive way is not easy. But as you share your difficulties with him, he will share his great love with you. God is love. And I have said many times, the people that want to annihilate the Christian religion and annihilate the Jewish religion, the people that want to see the Christians crucified and terribly treated with their heads chopped off are the same people that want to see Israel just rubbed off the map. But they cannot rub it off the map because they are the people of God. The Christian, with his self-denial, denying himself everything and anything that gets in the way of his loving the Lord Jesus, that man, that woman, is a person who is discovering what it is to follow Jesus. And in the following of Jesus, you will excite the wickedness of these people that want to vent their spleen on Christianity, Christians, Judaism, and Hebrews. It's a terrible thing that they're anticipating, but the Bible says they'll do it. And the Bible says that soon Jesus will come and they will be fighting Jesus, and their warfare is against God. They want to be like God, and they cannot be like God because God has never made God. God created the ends of the earth. It was God who spake, and there was light, and there was darkness, and so on. It was God who was the creator, and so he didn't create himself. He was there. He is God. And it was this wonderful God that said, I want to love mankind, and I want to express my love to mankind in forgiving his sins. And I want to bring him to the place where, as his sins are forgiven, he will worship me and follow me all the days of his life. Have you heard that message? Have you heard that truth? Have you heard that merciful love of God speaking to your heart and soul? Now repent of sin and believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of this living God who will never pass away. But these people think they will kill Jesus and that they will kill this living God and they will take over. Now listen to this living God speak. Through the word of God, he says, God is love. God is good. Now, if God is good and God is love, how come all this hatred spewing out of people who say they love God? The truth is, the God that they worship is a false God. Allah is not God. Mohammed is not Jesus. Jesus is not a prophet. Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. And Jesus comes to us and worships with us and helps us to worship the living God. And the living God changes our hearts and minds that we might become pure and white like snow. The wonderful thing about God is that he loves me in spite of me. He loves me because he loves me. The wonderful thing about this wonderful God is that he has mercy on a person like me. He has tremendous forbearance of me. I'm not right. I want to be, but I'm not. Yet he reaches out to me day by day, moment by moment, and I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I have peace from above. What a joyful thing this is. And this is the gospel. Jesus is the Son of God. He lives and he's coming back. Now, all these people that want to kill and treat viciously and unkindly the people of God as we know them today, these people can enjoy salvation, but they need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need to receive him as their Savior. And allow him to wash them white as snow, to create within them a clean heart. They need this, and they need it now. The time is running out. God is preparing to come and close the books. It seems to me as if we are not just in the last days, but really involved in the last days. There needs to come a time in our hearts when we turn to Christ. Have you ever done this? You may, For Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And all the things you're frightened of and the fatigue that overwhelms you, I will come and rescue you. Trust me. Well, we have to stop here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, wash us that we may be white as snow. Create within us a right spirit, and all this filth and anger and all these dreadful things that people want to bring upon us and all the suffering that's going on and all the anxiety that just fills the hearts of so many. We ask that you will alleviate the pain and the pressure by causing people to trust you and to come to you and receive you as their Savior. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Goodbye.